Well, good morning, family, on this lovely day of February the 7th. To friends near and far and to our church family, wherever you are, the Lord's blessing on you. I want to quickly give you some announcements for this week, and that starts with our short devotional Zoom meetings that we have on Mondays and Thursdays at 1 o'clock. You're all invited to join us. Many of you already have, and you can contact us through hamiltons@rogers.com. Also want to let you know that we have prayer times at the church Monday at 2 o'clock and Friday at 7 o'clock if you'd like to join us. Our birthdays this week, we want to wish Emily Loyce a happy birthday for the 7th, Gail Wilsever a happy birthday on the 8th, and to Don McNabb and to Grace Saul, happy birthday for February the 12th. I want to now get into the sermon that I had started last week. I want to talk to you about our zeal for God, and this is the second part in a series. And you'll remember that last week we talked about Elijah and his great quest to see the righteousness of God restored to Israel. In both the kingdoms, in the north, of course, the kingdom of Israel, the south, the kingdom of Judah, and so in about 870 B.C., he came and spoke to King Ahab in Samaria, the king of Israel, and told him that because of his great sin, that God was going to withhold rain for a period of time. And so from 870 to 867, not a drop of rain fell on the land. And then in 867, he came to make another pronouncement to King Ahab. Of course, King Ahab had not repented. Jezebel had not repented. They were into the worship of the Phoenicians, and it was incredibly godless in the entire nation. And so Elijah came to King Ahab, and he said, there will be rain, but it's time for a showdown. And so, of course, as he arrived, Ahab said, oh, you again. And he said, no, I'm not the one who troubles Israel. You see this in verse 18 of 1 Kings 18. He said, you have, and your father's house, because you've abandoned the commandments of the Lord, and you followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of the Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. And so they all arrived, and they congregated at the top of Mount Carmel. It's an incredible opportunity, if you ever go to Israel, to stand at that spot and realize this was one of the greatest moments in history with regard to, is God Jehovah or not? And so Elijah came near all the people, and he said, how long are you going to go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. People did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I, even only I, am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. So let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. In other words, prepare the altar, put that there. And I will prepare the other bull, and I will lay it on the wood, and I'll put no fire to it. And you call upon the name of your God, and then I'm going to call in the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. All the people said, well spoken. Great idea. Let's do it. So, of course, the prophets of Baal go first, and they yell and scream and slash, and blood is flowing, and they dance all day, and nothing happens. And towards evening, of course, if you remember the story, Elijah then prepares his altar, and he has them pour water all around a huge trench and douse the entire altar, the wood, and the bull sacrifice with water, drenched it. And then we have the following words in 1 Kings 18, starting in verse 37. Elijah begins to pray, and he says, answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there. And then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of rushing rain. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he gathered up his garment, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel, approximately 20 miles from Mount Carmel. Powerful day, a powerful day. But now we hear the rest of the story. When Ahab, of course, arrived back to Jezreel, and he told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword, then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Of course, he just destroyed all their her entertainment committee. And she was angry. And she was going to kill him. She was going to assassinate him. And notice what happens in verse 3. After this phenomenal day 24 hours before, it says, "Then Elijah was afraid, and he arose and he ran for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there." Now, Beersheba is at the very southern end of the kingdom of Judah. You remember it was two divided kingdoms. So he went to the very southernmost part of the Israelite realm. And it says he went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat down under a broom tree, and he asked what? That he might die. "It's enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." Family, at any time in our lives, we can be emotionally roller coastering. Many of you are finding this time of sequestering and pandemic to be a time where you may be going up and down. And we look at a man like Elijah. How could he have gone from being so high in serving the Lord and seeing the power of the Lord to within 24 hours wanting to die? What an incredible contrast. Was he not a godly man? Of course he was. And yet here he is asking God to kill him. Well, what I find fascinating, if you read the story, and I would suggest that you read 1 Kings 18 yourself, you will find that at this moment, God doesn't even have a discussion with him. God lets him sleep. And then God feeds him and rests him more. And then he allows Elijah to walk to Mount Horeb, back in the Saudi Arabian desert. Mount Sinai is another name we know, where it's called the Mount of God. And that's where, after a number of days, he went there over a month, and he sat there with God, and God met him, and God began to talk to him. In fact, God let him do more talking. And he said, he was very impassioned. I don't think he was thinking so much of his death right at the moment when he began to talk, and you see this now in 1 Kings 19. But he says to God, "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars. They've killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "You're a twit." No, he didn't. The Lord, with loving confidence and direct interaction, said the following to him: "Go and return your way to the wilderness of Damascus," which is up north, you know, in Syria. "And when you arrive, you anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall appoint to be the king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Ebal-Mahalah you shall anoint to be the prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to the death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees of those who have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." What do you hear in all of this? Well, let me go on. Think about that. "So Elijah departed and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him." What do you make of all this? You know, what's fascinating is nothing ever surprises God. It doesn't matter where we go in an emotional roller coaster, and Elijah epitomizes the absolute extreme of how far people can go. God never once mocked him. God never once derided him. God never once ignored him. God never once called him stupid. God never chastised him for his lack of faith. He simply let him listen, he fed him, and then he had a conversation and answered him very clearly and gave him continued purpose for his life. And that's exactly what Elijah did. If you take it to today, the same Heavenly Father that talked to Elijah is talking to you and I, who loves us more than we can possibly imagine, who's interested in every aspect of our life. And the question is, sometimes, I think in the midst of the emotional roller coaster, we often get angry at God or we don't want to talk to him. What I appreciate about Elijah is he talked to God. He told God everything he was thinking. And God let him talk, and then God talked with him. And God continued to give him purpose and hope. And we serve a king who constantly gives us purpose and hope because he's sitting at the right hand of our Heavenly Father interceding for you and I every day. I think King David says it so well in Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. He's eternal and we're not. David also says in Psalm 103 and verse 17, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. And David was the one, of course, who probably went through mental agony and emotional agony and recorded it in ways that Elijah would have understood, but we understand too, because David just epitomized everything that could happen within human emotion. And he records it in the Psalms and then shows us how the Lord touches and blesses. And so, family, I just want to encourage you today. You may have been on a spiritual high and you've dropped. You may have been in a valley and the Lord's about to pick you up in a new way. But in all of it, the Lord never abandons you and I. And so, as you move into this new week, I want you to take these words from David and apply them to your own life. They're from Psalm 103. And it says, the Lord has established his kingdom in all the heavens. His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his work, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, his ministers, and all who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For he has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. And so, Father, for all of us as we head into this week, we don't know what's going to be happening. We don't know even where we're going to be mentally, emotionally, physically, even spiritually. But one thing we do know is that you never change and that nothing surprises you and nothing catches you off guard and nothing will keep us from the love that we have in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, I pray for each one of us that this week we would sense your presence, that we would have great wisdom from you, and most of all, that we would have a calming sense in our spirit. And in that, we would have a sense of contentment, a sense of gratitude, a sense of thanksgiving, and the reality is that we're singing, bless the Lord, for he has done great things. Elijah, I'm sure, as he continued on with his life and he moved into a partnership of ministry with Elisha, must have said, you, O God, are a great God. And we utter that same concept today. So go before us, guide us, direct us, protect us, walk beside us, be our rear guard, continue to live with strength inside of us, and go before us in all things. And we bless you for being the great God that you are. Thank you so much for your love. And we pray these things in the name of yourself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.